Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Here.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back to the greatest show that the Fantasy Sports Radio Network has ever aired on Saturdays.
On Saturdays between 9 and noon.
A lot of good shows on there. I don't know. I am very glad that we are still here, though, and I'm very glad that you are listening to us. That's Scott Bogman. I am Chris Welch. We are on Twitter at Bogman Sports and Is It The Welch. And guess what? Zero shares of lost Twitter followers in the great Twitter bot exodus, Bogman.
It was a Twitter purging, right?
It was the purge. It was the first annual purge of Twitter followers.
I actually lost people I was following, apparently.
No, they just disappeared. You were following Russian bots.
Apparently I was, and now I'm way higher on, well, not way higher, but I'm like 50 more followers than I was following. So I've always kind of hovered that line pretty close.
You like to follow other people.
I do. I like to follow back.
Yeah, you know what I don't like about that? Is Twitter would be unwatchable. It would be
unreadable.
It's too busy. Right. I would have to mute everybody. I mute a lot. I follow about 700. And I definitely mute some people. Also, muted some industry people too. That's a good feeling. Good feeling when you mute some people that you know. It's very powerful. It's a powerful feeling. But I don't follow over 1,000. I follow like 700 people because we follow some ITL Army members and stuff like that. Even then, it's a tad bit much, but I feel like I have a good mix of my timeline. My timeline is exactly what I'm looking for. It is. If I were following 2,000 or 3,000, it would be a disaster. When I go onto our ITL
I think my Instagram is exactly what I'm looking for.
Oh, you know? Yeah, like a little TNA?
Yeah, a lot bit. Yeah. So
do you follow someone that doesn't have a triple D?
Yeah.
Me. Besides me and Jake Seeley, who has a picture with Mike Tomlin on his, which I'm looking at right now.
So I'm like, sorry. What was the question again? All I heard
was
triple D.
Do you follow someone that doesn't work in an adult industry?
Oh,
besides me and Jake
Seeley.
Yeah,
sure. I follow a lot, but
yeah.
The types of follows that I like usually post a bunch of pictures.
Pictures.
That's specific pictures, right? Like Anna Nystrom.
Like
right.
Jennifer Dooku.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Deku. Mm-hmm.
Deku. Mm-hmm. Annabelle Sparks. Annabelle Peaks. That's mine,
yep.
By the way.
Right, yep.
Annabelle
a lot
Peak,
of that.
Peaks
Lexi
XX.
Bell.
That
Tori
is
Black.
My favorite. She is my... Mm-hmm. I just saw something that she was the most searched wonderful woman on the internet.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of surprised by that.
Not me.
I mean,
attributed to
not.
A lot of that.
Apparently the audience is
Lindsay Pellis.
Wide.
Lindsay Pellis.
Lindsay, you know what? The weird teeth, like they're too white and they're weird. They're like chiclets.
She's too
it's
beautiful.
Very strange to
Doesn't
me.
Matter to me. It's fine by me. So what's interesting about this, so essentially this is a big political thing. And the claim has been that obviously Russia had, you know, their hands in the election and this, that, and the other thing. It all came down to Twitter finally saying they're going to crack down on bots. And
now, was this just Russian bots or was this bots overall? Like, you know,
bots.
There's a lot of camming bots.
Yeah. You know what?
So I'm surprised I didn't lose more followers or any followers, really.
No, you know, to be fair, I would say the cam bots are some of the hardest working bots in the industry, because what happens is,
I mean,
if,
God bless them,
if you
but
don't
they're all the same.
If you don't follow them too quickly, they'll just unfollow you. So I'll see a nice little mixture of up and down, you know, over a week. I'll see like, oh, I just got three new followers. And I'm like, oh, this person with three X's at the end of their name probably isn't someone I'm going to follow back.
And
then
always
about a week later,
like,
they go away.
They always have the most vile thing in their Twitter profile, too. Yeah. It's like, you can do this to me. I love it.
Yeah, just text this number with your social security number. And you're like, nah.
Just go to my page here. I'm like, I'm not clicking on that. It'll be, that whatever virus, it'll be the computer version of herpes. No, thank you.
But then what you do is you get your friend over and you're like, hey, text this number. Tell me what you see. But, so they're very different. So it's a whole, they said they're going to crack down on spam bot accounts. Now, here's the most interesting part about it, is people that started paying attention to other Twitter accounts to see what they dropped. Now, from a micro level, it's really interesting to me in the industry because I lost none.
You told me about this. So you told me about this. I had like just woken up. Yeah. Right.
Well, because I tweeted you because here's why he knew.
You sent me a picture, right? You sent me a screenshot of this guy we used to know. And you're like, looks like somebody lost a couple followers here.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, people are losing followers.
Someone
from bots.
We knew who became quite a J-off, and they lost, and we always joke because we knew the followers were a scam, lost half of their followers. Went from a high 1,000 number to half of that. And I was like, look at this. All the followers are gone.
I pointed out a different one that had even more followers.
Oh, they went from like 12,000 to
1,000.
Oh, love it. Because then
you were just buying follows at that point. That like, look, I'm sure people, hear my lifestyle, whatever. They're like, that's a sad guy. I get it. I understand it.
What's
whatever.
Sad, that we revel in the misery of others?
No. Just like, I sit at home a lot. I talk a lot about porn, that kind of stuff. But
it sounds like a great life to me.
I actually, every married guy is like, what are you talking about? I wish I was you.
Yeah. Alone? But, are you kidding me? Give anything for a loan.
But I've never been pathetic enough to go and pay for Twitter followers. That's just not a thing.
But
hard pass.
Twitter is an industry. It's become an industry. You see these people.
Isn't there a site that'll tell you how much your Twitter account is worth?
Oh, yeah. Well, there was. There was.
This is going to be depressing, isn't it?
I don't know. I think it's gone now.
I'm going to try and see.
Yeah, see if you can find it. There was a site that had like a worth to it, and there was some metric they had with it. But there was also a site out there that would tell you the percentages of how real your account was and how fake it was. So all that's happened now is Twitter just deleted mounds and mounds of accounts. Now, besides reveling, for me specifically, reveling in watching people that we know that may have had teens of thousands that now have 5,000, which is hilarious because, yeah, sure, you didn't buy those. There's also some major, while you're looking, some major, major accounts on Twitter that took a huge hit. Bogman, how about I tell you some that lost some
major
followers?
Yeah, let's hear some. I'm trying to find one, but most of them want you to tweet something, and I just refuse to do that.
I think the worth of your Twitter account thing is, I think that might
be done. This one is supposed to be free, so I'm going to try it here.
All right. Oh, yeah. What are you worth? This is your worth. This is the Hot or Not version of Twitter. Do you remember that site?
The Hot or Not. This is what originally started Facebook. So mine is worth $489, the Welsh.
Wow. Let me see that link.
Are you ready for yours?
Yeah. Where's the link?
I'm going to put it in, and I'll tell you. So you have to guess higher or lower.
What was yours?
$489.
I'll say mine is worth $512.
$493. You got four more bucks on me.
Yes. Count it. Does it give you any information?
No, it just shows your account, and it shows your followers and then the value.
I'll sell my account for $500 right now. Right now.
Let's see what Spore is worth, shall we?
Oh, I bet it's like $1,000.
This is going to be depressing for us, right?
Yeah.
$7,000 for Spore.
I hate him. I hate Spore. What is Sealy's worth? Is it worth more than Spore?
I'm looking it up right now. Let's see. All in Kid is worth Oh crap. I think you only get four.
Oh,
you only get three and that's it.
Oh, you wasted.
Oh no.
Wait for us.
Too
to go
sexy.
Too sex- oh, I could do it though. What's the site?
Yeah, you could do it. I'll send you the link right now. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely not letting me do it again. So okay. I will send you the link.
Yeah. Let me do one. Let's, cause we had Spore on, or we had, Celia. You got me screwed up. Where are you on our sheet?
I'm sending you the link on our thing right here.
Oh, okay. Well, hurry up and send it.
I'm doing it right now.
Well, while you're doing it, I'm going to read off some.
There you go.
Oh, do you have it? Okay. Well, I'm going to still read off some. President Donald Trump lost 200,000 of his 53.3 million followers in the Twitter purge.
I guess that's a small percentage.
Okay. Well, check this out, though.
53 million?
I think this is number one. It's not saying it is, but I'm pretty sure this is number one. Justin Bieber lost 2.7 million followers.
That's great news.
While former president.
Did he only have 2.7 million followers?
No, because I think he was like number one on Twitter. Former president Obama total dropped by nearly 2.4 million. And it says that represents 2.5 of their respective followers. Jeez. CNN lost 1 million followers. While the New York fake news, fake accounts too, New York Times lost 730,000. Twitter's own account shed more than 12% of its followers. That is 7.8 million people were dropped off of it.
I wonder how they must have just thrown an algorithm of like IP addresses and, you know, I guess how many tweets and everything. Like, do you think anybody had their actual account?
I bet you there was. I bet you there was. Yeah, I mean, you know what I wonder? I've got another account that I've had for a long time, more of a business account, but I haven't been on there for 4 or 5 years, I wonder. But what's interesting is there's long been known this kind of tactic that people do, and, you know, you follow people, they follow you back, and then you can only follow so many until they followed you back, and then you follow more. And that's why you'll see people with like a million followers and 1.3 million they follow. So that's that thing. Bill Gates lost 900,000 followers. And how about this for a sports one? LeBron James dropped 880,000 followers.
880,000 Russians trying to get at LeBron James? Like, yeah. For what?
Well, but I say an old tactic. This was an old one. I've been around. I've worked with some social media people that have told me about this. So an old tactic would be this is about 2 or 3 years ago, maybe even a little bit longer, is you would go to the biggest accounts. And you would follow, and then what you would do is every 10 minutes or so, you would unfollow and follow back, because if you were at the top of the list of who follows that person was organized by newest. So what would happen is people would go and just follow the top of the list. So if you kept following and unfollowing, you would keep getting new followers. It was this whole scammy algorithm that Twitter has been working towards for 4, 5, 6, 7 years.
What's worse, the Twitter algorithm or the iTunes algorithm?
Well, I mean, iTunes is super frustrating. But I mean, well, maybe Twitter. Well, Twitter's getting rid of it. Yeah, I mean, listen, Fantasy by Martha or whatever the stupid thing is, is still up there. What is that? Fantasy by Andrea?
Yeah, it's some. Yeah, she did like 6 episodes in 2011.
Still,
and she had 4 reviews that are all 5 stars, and she's still up there ahead of a bunch of people.
She's still like 12th on Fantasy Baseball if you search it on the podcast. That's really funny. But the great Twitter purge hit a bunch of people. You know what, if we were smart, what we would have done is went out and pre-shot some of our fantasy friends and then look now so we could kind of blast.
So we could point and laugh?
Point and laugh. I mean, because there, like I said, there's a couple that I know of that I have had some great entertainment in seeing their followers massively drop. Massively drop. Because you always wonder, you see someone, you're like, wow, 9,000 followers, and you tweet something, and you get 0 interaction. That's interesting. Interesting. Now you're down by half.
What a surprise. What a shocker.
And Bogman of the Welsh losing 0. But, I mean,
yeah,
we're not
important. Yeah, I'm surprised. No, I've had many, many, you know, like we said before, we call it the cam girl season. And it seems to be like there's a wave of it. It's it like, is. Hey, right around Christmas time, people are going to have extra money. Now there's a bunch of cam girls following you.
They're just kind of like
I said, with that horrific thing in their profile.
They're,
and then,
they're ramping up their Amazon list for Christmas season. I guess people are, what's the logic there? People are a little bit more lonely during Christmas. Are you more lonely during Christmas or summer? I feel like I would be more lonely in summer than Christmas.
Well, I think definitely summer for me because, you know, the winter is a fat guy season. Like everybody gets to wear more clothes.
Yeah, you get the hoodie going on. Everyone's
eating
more.
I'm not going to the beach right now. You know, are you kidding me? I'm not going to take my shirt off.
Yeah,
no way.
You would think that the cam season would be right now. Like you're not. Yeah, dude, exactly. You're not going to the beach. You're not going out swimming. You're not going anywhere.
Right.
They should be hitting you up. They might get a couple tokens from you.
I'm going
to
Chick-fil-A and Cane's. That's where I'm going.
If you had a Twitter, a cam account that said, hey, come hang out with some Chick-fil-A and a couple tokens. We're going to have a great time. You would know it's a cam account, but you might be like,
no one is going to believe this. I've never bought tokens.
I firmly don't believe that.
I will take a polygraph. I have never bought tokens. Ever.
You've come very close, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, oh, yeah.
Okay,
I
come really
drunk
close,
and lonely and on there like, I want to see this girl do something, but I got to give her a tip. And then I've like pulled it up, right? I've been too drunk
like
to figure
like
it out.
You were doing the math.
I'm not saying that I'm a better person than X, Y, or Z because I haven't. I'm just saying that no. I know people think that I have and I have not.
What's the equation? How does that work, by the way? Like, what does $10 get you?
It's worse than Dave and Buster's.
I was about to say, is it like Dave and Buster's?
It's terrible.
If I do 20, can I get a supercharge for $23? Will I get a supercharge for more tokens?
Now, I think that it's the more you know, the higher amount you spend.
Yeah, that's how Dave and Buster's
the better,
works.
Yeah, the better the conversion rate. I'm telling you, it is adult Dave and Buster's. It's the same thing.
All right, am I going to win a teddy bear?
You're not going to win a teddy bear. So.
All right, any candy?
No, I think everyone's the end of the night for everyone on those things is exactly the same.
You
feel great for about 30 seconds and then shame for the rest of the week.
It's pretty big shame. That's what goes on there. All right. Well, shameful. Shameful for all of us and shameful for all you fake Twitter buying ass. We know who you are. We know who you are because we see now. All right.
We've seen it. We've seen it.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be back. It's Bogman. I'm the Welsh. This is In This League. We got a lot more to talk about, not just Twitter followers.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Where are we going to go?
Someplace warm. A place where the beer flows like wine. Where beautiful women instinctively flock like the salmon of Capistrano. I'm talking about a little place called
In This League.
That's right. On Bogman's internet browser every single night, the women of Capistrano flow like fine wine.
That's right.
You drink wine? You're not a wine.
I mean, I will. I'm not against it or
anything.
It's
the last
time
you drank wine.
I normally do. I was probably at the wedding. Yeah.
The wedding where Bogman was lit.
I was drunk.
Bogman was the most lit. The most lit since you cried on our.
Do you have to bring that up every time, dude? Why does that have to come up every time when we talk about me drinking? Yeah, it happened. I got really drunk. I got an awesome gift from my guy Greg at officialfantasyrings.com, and I cried. It was amazing.
And you're lovable. You're more likable than me. You're more relatable.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't deny it. I've said before, it's a good redeeming factor when I go scorched earth and end it all. It'll be great because you're the likable one. So it's a very, very positive thing. By the way, Greg from Official Fantasy Rings is going to join us here next couple of weeks. I don't know when. Maybe a week or two. OFR, a killer, killer place if you guys want to do kind of something different for your leagues. If you want to have a different prize, maybe you don't even have a prize, you can get customized rings, and they're doing blinged out dog tags. A very cool thing.
That.
Maybe everyone doesn't like rings. Guess what? I do because I got a bunch of them and I love them. But if you don't, they do blinged out dog tags, and a bunch of other people, Michael Rapaport, the New Kings of Comedy, have done stuff with him.
Kangs.
Killer, killer stuff. But we're going to have Greg on because I want him to kind of tell some of the stories of how he works with Rapaport, how the stuff with New Kings of Comedy, George Lopez reached out to him. That is really cool. And he told me, little birdie, that there is some new stuff in the works and potentially maybe another big name out there. So Greg's going to join us here in a little bit. Want to do the Twitter thing again?
Yeah, yeah. Give me another. How about, did you look up Jake?
Let's look, Jake. All in kid. What is your Twitter worth, Jake?
This is going to be hurtful.
It's going to be hurtful to us because we were only like just under $500. Where is it? Holy crap. Wait, where's the money? I don't understand the. What is this C? Is that,
I don't know
cash
what you're
money?
Talking about.
Well, the
you can see the picture of his account, and to the right, there's the money. That was what it was on mine.
Mine's a little different. It shows his followers, and it says value, but it, what is this C? I mean, it says 10,004, but is that cash?
That's got to be cash.
There's a big C with a couple lines through it. What does that mean?
Cents.
Is that what that means?
Yeah, C with the double line is cents.
Oh, okay. Well, it's $10,000. Good for you. All right, let's check another
way
one.
Way to be, Jake. Look up King James.
Is that his Twitter?
Yeah, it's his Twitter.
Oh, my God. That's going to be a It is. Oh, no Twitter name found.
What?
What's his Twitter handle?
I thought
handle?
I just looked it up. But King James.
What's his Twitter handle? Come on. LeBron.
Dude, it says King at King James.
All right, maybe it did an artificial.
Are you doing at? Are you adding? Does it have the at in there?
Yeah, it's already got that. I think it did an artificial like space. Stop doing that.
So this is operator error.
There we
is
go.
What you're saying. This is riveting. We got right now.
King,
how much is LeBron James?
James, take a guess. It's got 41 million followers.
There was a tweet that said he tweeted about Blaze Pizza and it was causing a ruckus at like every Blaze
Pizza.
Well, because
guess what? He owns it.
He owns that.
That's
Blaze
his pizza. I heard this whole thing today where it was like he owns Blaze Pizza, and then they were doing the free pizzas in L.A. And he was like, man, haven't been at a pizza party in a long time. And then he said one of the locations. And they said there's a 4-hour wait of people,
oh,
and he never
God.
Showed up.
How much is his account worth? Is it worth like $20
million? $15.7 million.
Jesus.
Can you imagine?
I mean, he can retire right now and just make money off of his tweets.
We got one more on our free. We only get three, apparently, we discovered. Let's do someone smaller.
I say do a celebrity.
Okay.
You want to do like Steven Seagal?
Ooh, who's my guy that we're now best friends, who's married to Christina Hendricks?
Oh, yeah, I don't know his name.
What's his name? He tweeted
Christina Hendricks' husband.
Yeah, what's his name? Find it.
I'm looking it up.
We're Christina best friends. Hendrick. It's like Paul...
husband. No, Paul it's something weird, isn't it? Is it not Paul?
It's the guy...
Jeffrey Arend.
Yeah, it's Schnozberries, but with a G, right? Yeah, there he is.
Yeah.
Because I follow him. Because we're best friends, because he retweeted me.
Yeah, because you don't know his name.
I don't. All right, we're going to look at Jeffrey Arend. He has this only 6,800. This is going to be depressing. Jeffrey Arend, who is married to Christina Hendricks. He is worth. Aw, it hit my limit. It didn't let me look it up.
Aha, because he did the weird space.
It's
for King James.
Me. Come on. All I wanted to know was what Jeffrey Arend was worth. It doesn't matter. $1 million or Christina Hendricks. Which one?
I bet Christina Hendricks has. I bet he
has $1 million.
She's the reason he has 5,500 of those followers. So.
I mean, he's got 6,842.
That's 6,800
of those are from her.
So 42, it's you, me, and 40 other chumps that follow him.
I mean, to be fair, though, like,
he's been in movies.
The only if I saw him in public, I would go.
You
the Snozberries taste like Snozberries.
Yeah, or you'd say, when the f did we get ice cream from the ringer?
Yeah.
He was the guy. With
or
the
it'd be
hand.
Like, congratulations. Good job. You're my hero. What did I tweet him?
Are you kidding me? That dude is getting he's getting rotator cuff surgery every single week because of the high fives everyone is giving him.
So
are you kidding me?
Many high fives. Christina Hendricks. I just watched a movie. It was called like The Strangers, and she's in it. It's not very good.
No.
It's a horror movie. It's about a bunch of people that wear masks.
What movie? Did I just win $100?
Horror movie.
Horror.
Horror movie horror. About a, quote, based on real events thing. And she is one of the good guys in it. And it's not that great. Not that great.
I liked her in Bad Santa, too. So.
Oh, mm-hmm. Love her and Mad Men. Love her and Mad Men.
I get it done to that.
The Futures game is this weekend, and it's one of my favorite things. I think I'm going to be doing maybe at least an hour or something like that of a live stream of it. Now, I don't know if I'm going to do a Periscope. I might do a Periscope. I might do something only for the Army. So the only way to make sure that you don't miss out is to join up with the ITL Army, patreon.com/ITL Army. But as you know, I'm a prospect guy. I just did an episode with Eddie Almaguer from Baseball Prospectus. If you would like some prospect knowledge, Prospect One, I like to consider it the number one fantasy prospect podcast in the land. But
I would consider it that, too. Get your hat. Mm. I got my hat.
Do you like it?
I do it on. Yeah, it's great. I do it on my runs. People are like, what's that hat? I tell them and they're like, oh, OK, I'll give it a listen.
Waiting. I'm still waiting one time. I'm just waiting for, like, especially because I go out to the backfield, to wait for someone to be like, hey, Prospect One. They're like, yep. It's never going to happen, though. What'll happen first?
Twitter accounts are worth less than $1,000. So
yeah, our Twitter accounts are worth $500. What'll happen first? I get recognized in the wild, or I interview Jerry Rice?
In the wild. That's the second time you said in the wild.
Yeah, in the wild.
There was a clip of Jerry Rice screaming at Charles Barkley, I'm the best in the world, MF-er.
Yep.
So
true.
That came up on Twitter today.
I actually saw that. What happens first? That I get recognized like in the wild? You think that happens before I interview Jerry Rice?
Yes. Yeah.
Damn. Damn it.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Can you reach out to them?
What would make you happier, though?
Sealy's account's worth $10,000. Maybe he can do it.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, I should have looked at what Jerry Rice's was worth. Damn it.
We can probably do it tomorrow. So, I mean, yeah. We won't be on the air, but
daily limit.
You can at least know.
So the Futures game is on Sunday, and it is the brightest stars that are ready to break through. And it is quite a class of guys that I'm looking at. It's U.S. versus the world. And there are a bunch of guys. I do a top 500 list, 500 prospects that are ranked out for fantasy. So that's an important factor here. Do you want me to list off some of the big prospects? You have some questions. How do we want to do this?
Yeah, I just want to know what you're most excited about in the Futures game. I mean, I know it's clearly Yoan Lopez, who is 38 or whatever for the Diamondbacks.
25 relief pitcher.
Is in the Futures game. But besides that, of course, what are you looking forward to the most in the Futures game?
All right. Yeah, someone did ask me that during my AMA, who are the players I'm looking most forward to? And I had two players that rose to the top that I'll tell you about. Number one, and this is on the world team, is Jesus Sanchez, the Jesus, because you don't mess with the Jesus. He is one of my absolute favorite prospects. He was me pounding my hand against the table. Whoa. In the offseason to say pounding the hand against the table, that he was criminally undervalued. And I've believed that from this entire standpoint. The guy's hit 300 at every single level, at every single stop. He's a super advanced hitter, and he's really stepping into his own. And he's at high A. He's going to be in, I believe he should be the starter for the world team. I'm not sure if I've even seen what the starters are, but I'm guessing that the starters would be Yusniel Diaz, Sully Matias, and Jesus Sanchez. So there's a bunch of really good guys. I think he has the potential to steal the show because he's a super advanced hitter. The other one, though, this is a really interesting stat, and I've actually met. It's funny, when you go over to the U.S. team, I've seen in person about half or over half of the pitchers that are on the U.S. team. But this guy was born after, I think it's after the Futures game was created. So he is younger than the Futures game. Hunter Green. I talked with Hunter Green this last spring training. He's a very impressive young young guy, and the guy throws over 100. He is younger than this entire thing, and I believe, I'm going to look here, I think he might be the youngest player in this entire Futures game. I'm going through the list.
Well, he's one of like the four guys in the Futures game that's younger than Juan Soto.
It's nuts. Yeah, Joe Adell was born in 99, but his birthday is April. Hunter Green's is in August. Let's see. Yeah, he's the young. I'm going over to the international team right now. Brian Maddox.
Ramos pretty young too?
Let's see. Ramos, that could be a good one. That might be the only person that beats him. Fernando Tatis. Oh, Luis Garcia. Now, that is the youngest player. Oh, my God, dude. Luis Garcia, he's a Nationals infielder, born in 2000.
Oh,
he is in the game. He is the youngest player. Helio Ramos is the second youngest player, like you just said, and then Hunter Green. So you've got some pretty damn young players. There's actually some great coaches. Here's a coach. You want to hear the manager for the world coaching staff? David Ortiz.
Wow.
Here you go.
That'll be entertaining.
Here's some other ones. Jerry Manuel is the bench coach. Francisco Cordero is the pitching coach. Remember Cordero?
Cordero, wow.
Cannot get better as a hitting coach in Vladimir Guerrero. Love that. Let's go see who the coaches are for the U.S. team. Manager, Torrey Hunt.
Okay.
Torrey Hunter. You've got Matt LaCroix, who is the bench coach. LaTroy Hawkins, who actually LaTroy Hawkins is a really interesting he's become an interesting coach, by the way. I saw him coaching a bunch of young guys at the MLB Dream Series out here in Arizona, and he is very, very impressive. Let's see. No one else really to speak of. But LaTroy Hawkins, LaCroix, and Torrey Hunter are the coaching staff for the U.S. team.
Let me ask you this. Which of these guys could we possibly see up for a September call-up? Obviously, we're not going to see those young guys that you just mentioned. Well, what about like Matt Manning for Detroit? I know Forrest Whitley's kind of had a setback. Obviously, he had the suspension and he has the oblique injury. Who else could we possibly see up for some September call-ups? Who, this is a nice little preview for us to see them actually get up into the bigs.
Okay, so there's a couple guys. I want to say almost nobody. Well, okay, on the U.S. pitching staff, potential could be Mitch Keller with the Pirates. I've seen a couple of his starts in the Arizona Fall League. He's in AAA. The Pirates love to hold their guys back.
The Pirates, yeah. So he'll come up in 2022.
Probably. He's a potential. The number one guy, they've got a couple other guys, like the catcher Danny Jansen with the Blue Jays. That's a potential one. The big one I would be looking about for Team USA is Peter Alonso. Peter Alonso is the first baseman for the New York Mets. He has been on a ridiculous tear this season. He's tapered off the last couple weeks, but he's a big old power hitter. When I look at the U.S. team, I think there's a couple guys that could steal the show here. Carter Kieboom, I think, could steal the show. He's not going to make it to the majors this year. Joe Adell is one of the younger players. He could do the same thing. Alex Kirilloff could as well, but Peter Alonso is a guy that has an impact now. When you go over to the world team, pitcher-wise, I don't think there's anybody really to speak of. They do have Francisco Mejia with the Indians, but Mejia's moving to the outfield. But the guy I would look for from an offensive perspective that could make an impact this year would be Jordan Alvarez, first baseman who, they have him listed at AA, but he just moved up to AAA. And he is a big, massive human being who I have seen. These teams are really stacked, by the way, as I'm looking here. People are going to get an incredibly good look at some of the best young talent. The world team, Fernando Tatis Jr. and Luis Urias, who I have seen play together, those guys on the same field as Andrés Giménez and Jordan Alvarez, that is pretty awesome.
Who do you
really
want to see
excited.
Mic'd up? Because I remember one of my favorite memories of the Futures game is Alex Bregman in San Diego getting mic'd up. So.
That's a great, great question. I would say if it were Team USA, I would love to hear from Bo Bichette. I'd like to hear what people are going at with him. Pitcher-wise, I think Hunter Green is probably going to have the biggest personality of the pitchers. From the world team, let me look here. I kind of want to hear of Kuiper Ruiz. Kind of want to hear what he's got going on.
I would like to hear Matias just to see him hit some bombs. That dude has been hitting bombs like nobody's business this season, right? What does he have, 800, 900 this year?
He has many homers is what he's got. That's the official number, Bogman. I don't know if you've you've seen that. Many is the official one.
Well, it's just, you know, I wake up every single day and our guy Barry Baker in the Army has said, look, Cioli Matias has hit another homer. So it's just every day. It's like this Matias report is he's hit a bomb from the night before. It's been incredible.
I mean, the power that is in this class of guys, Cioli Matias is nutso. But he does have some strikeout to his game. That's why I look at a guy like Jesus Sanchez. I think if you're looking at some star power, you're looking for some players to kind of shine that you might not expect, because I think Matias has gotten a lot of run. Tatis Jr. is one of the biggest names here. I think Jesus Sanchez has the potential to drop a huge bomb to get some people excited. And I think from the U.S. team, Carter Kiboom, even though he's not the biggest guy.
You gotta be Carter, because it's in D.C.
I love Carter Kiboom. I love these guys. So be on the lookout for it. I'm going to drop that live stream. Most likely it's going to be on Periscope. So follow me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh. I'm excited to talk about some prospects because I love that stuff. All right, don't go anywhere. We have got one more segment just for you. It's Bogman. It's the Welsh. It's In This League. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends? Listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back to the final segment of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Don't be afraid to tweet FNTSY how much you love In This League. You got to tell them, man. You got to tell them. I love Bogman and the Welsh. We want more of them.
We got tokens to sell you.
Yeah, tell them. You'll pay tokens for it.
And the conversion rate
maybe
is
not
fantastic.
So much. I don't want to do a 4-5 hour show. I'm over that. Make us full time, Monday through Friday. Feel like we got stuff to say during the week. Look what we did with Seeley. We just saw something and we immediately called him. We used our connections. We got a great segment earlier where Seeley had just
because our Twitter accounts
Tom
are worth so much, people will answer the phone for us.
We are worth so much money.
So famous, very super famous.
I was just about to say John Lajoie would have much to say about. Our accounts, but go to InThisLeague.com. And since we are not 5 days a week on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, we do have our wonderful podcast available for you in multiple capacities. We've got the baseball, football, the basketball, Prospect One, college football, and we even do a show over at Fantrax with Joe.
We've got enough for you to get sick of us.
We have enough to listen every day. If you waited 2 days, and then you just tried to catch up at all the time, you would consistently have an episode to go through.
Right.
Especially if you listen to College and Prospect One.
So much.
We missed
so much content.
Oh, we missed a big opportunity to go look and see what Pizapia's account was worth.
You know what I mean? Miss that?
I just like we ran out of opportunities. Let's look at his followers.
We're so dumb.
I don't think Joe lost any. I think Joe did a pretty good job.
Joe's doing a good job, so why would he lose any?
Yeah.
He's not a guy that needs to go out and buy bots.
Nope, doesn't need to buy bots like other people in the industry.
Other people need to go buy bots.
purchase
Joe
bots.
Joe P2P is not one of those guys.
Because they don't feel good about themselves. But the Fantasy Black Book has done Joe just fine. I pulled up an article over at the ESPN.
The ESPN, the four-letter?
The four-letter. By the way, before I get to... I almost went completely past this, Bogman. We're going to sit here and talk about the Manny Machado trades. Manny Machado, in theory, is trying to be traded to a team that is going to attend the World Series. World Series contenders are vying for his time. You have the chance to vie for two tickets to a 2018 World Series game. Just go
you
to
can
daily.
See Manny Machado when he lands in Arizona.
Ah, see? You're trying to put it all together. If he comes to Arizona, maybe it's possible. But all you have to do, unlike trying to make a mysterious Manny Machado trade happen, you just need to go to dailyroto.com/DKMS. You got better odds than Manny Machado to go to a World Series game, because there you'll find a link to a free DFS baseball contest every day. The contest, they are sponsored by DKMS. We're looking for your help in the fight against blood cancer. For many patients, a bone marrow transplant is the best chance for survival. While 30% of patients can find a matching donor in their own family, 70% cannot. 14,000 each year, my friends, to find a stranger to step up and donate. Find out how you can help and play in a free DFS contest with a shot at winning two tickets to a 2018 World Series game. Just go to dailyroto.com/DKMS. That's dailyroto.com/DKMS.
Do it.
Mr. Manny Machado. We have spent so much time talking about him, but the stories never end. They never end with this guy because he is the hottest commodity on the trade market. Now, I saw this article and I thought it was really interesting. That had a couple quotes from unnamed GMs around baseball that said they just didn't know if the Orioles truly wanted to make a move, because one minute they felt like the Orioles were ready to move on and execute a trade. Then the Orioles would go dark and they wouldn't hear from them again. And then the Orioles would come back hemming and hawing, almost like a fantasy owner. You know, they would just be hemming and hawing about a trade.
Orioles are the Scott Bogman of trades. They're like,
they just think they know what everyone should get them.
I don't want to do it. Yeah.
They think they know every trade scenario already.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But they don't.
And why it's not good for them. Right.
Yeah. So they won't even bother. They don't even bother to make an offer. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So it does
ways
feel
to insult me.
Yeah, no. It does feel like we're coming to a head, though, because and the other thing that I thought was interesting, we had done a episode of the ITL Fantasy Baseball podcast, and literally like hours after we did it, there was a report that came out that the Orioles were determined to move on from Manny Machado before the All-Star break. I don't necessarily know if that's, unless it's happening right now and we're not even seeing it, you know, that's not going to happen yet. The Manny Machado sweepstakes have picked up. We just saw that the Phillies have upped their offer, quote unquote, as a report, their efforts to get him. But Sixto Sanchez, their top prospect, was not involved. We've seen the Dodgers. We've seen the Brewers. The Indians have stepped up. The Diamondbacks have been rumored but never made an official offer. And you and I think in the last baseball podcast episode, both kind of put our odds. And I think your odds were the Dodgers?
Yeah, that's what I said. I think somehow the Dodgers are going to wind up getting this done.
Okay. So this article over on ESPN by... Who was this? This is a Bradford Doolittle. Never heard of you. But interesting article you got.
For ESPN.
Yep. It has the top 12 landing spots for Manny Machado. Now, the first eight, or the first couple, I don't buy. Right off the bat, at number 12, he's got the Houston Astros. No.
So yeah, I mean, that's the last one. The Astros are not happy. They are Correa. They got Altuve. This just not.
I think you have to immediately take out a team that wouldn't play him at shortstop. I know it might seem crazy, but the guy's going to play shortstop. He's open. Like, he won't have a conversation with you if it's not about him being a shortstop. So you're not going to be the shortstop in Houston. I think that's a dumb one. That doesn't work. Nationals, number 11. No. I don't think so. They don't have the assets. They're not going
to. No, it's no.
Chicago Cubs at number 10. That one has come up because there's always been this rumored Addison Russell straight up for Manny Machado.
Straight up.
Trade.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, I would probably do that if I was the Cubs.
I mean, it'd probably be good for them. I mean, can you imagine Javier Baez and Manny Machado infield?
That's pretty damn good.
That is quite an infield. Number 9, the Boston Red Sox.
So Bogaerts plays second, or
I just don't understand what the trade asset is there.
I what did the they move? One thing I saw was Devers.
No,
they're not going to do that.
No.
I mean, they got a lot of guys, don't they?
No,
they got your boy the cheater.
They don't.
Chavis the cheater.
Yeah, Michael Chavis. No, they don't have a big system. I would say I don't think the Boston Red Sox have the ammunition.
I didn't mean system. I meant third base options. They have a couple Chavis. Third base options besides Chavis the cheater.
Yeah, but I mean, cheated, so they don't know what they have in him enough. Number 8, the Atlanta Braves. We've talked about them, and the Braves have so many assets to make something.
I think the Braves can't be ruled out. I think they should probably be higher on this list.
I think I agree with you, but they just seem so unwilling to move those pitching assets.
Yeah, I mean, if they're unwilling, they're unwilling. But I think as soon as they break, they have the stuff. They have the most stuff to get it done, right?
I do agree with that. And, you know, you've got like, if Ozzie Albies is at short and they wanted to move. I mean, you have to move Dansby Swanson to third, which.
Yeah, move him to the bench. Who cares? Camargo is playing fine.
How about this? What if a team like the Braves, you move multiple assets, you bring in Machado and Moustakas?
What if you just gave them Swanson and you got Machado? Just do that.
I mean, they could, because if they really wanted, Ozzie Albies could play short if they were worried about their future at short.
Yep. Do that, man. Like Swanson is good, but he's a much better, you know, he's a better defender than he is a hitter at this point. So, and they got to get something. I just can't believe it's taken this long for Baltimore to do this. And because I think, yes, you increase your suitors.
You always thought this was going to help them, though.
Well, I did, because the All-Star break makes a lot of sense. But for me, I would have done this trade before the season started, because you're going to get the most, because it's a full year that you get out of Machado. I think that you're playing a dicey game here, because every day that you don't trade him, the offer probably goes down a little bit, because they don't have that guy on their team. You know, they have to have him on their team for him to do something. So it's going to go down a little bit. Now, waiting until the deadline, you get more teams that think that they can, you know, that they can make the playoffs, and they're a Manny Machado away, which helps them. So I think it's better to do it at the trade deadline than to do it right now. I wouldn't pull the trigger until the deadline to see the last desperate offer that somebody gives you. But you are playing a dicey game, especially with the way that the Orioles have been working this, not answering things, holding out for more and more and more. I mean, would you be surprised if the Orioles were so stupid that they held on to Manny Machado?
No, I wouldn't. I could totally see them saying they really feel like they've got the inside track to re-sign Manny Machado.
You
got
to get something for the guy. He is not signed. He's definitely signing with the Yankees. You're really stupid if you try to keep
him. I do think they make the move. Number 7 is the Phillies, who we talked about. They're not going to move Sixto Sanchez, but the Orioles apparently like Adonis Medina, who's a pitcher they have. They have a very deep system. They've got a whole bunch of players to pick and choose from. I could see that happening. Plus, it has been rumored that the Orioles want some major league talent.
You've
got
Crawford.
You got Kingery, Franco, and Crawford that they could choose from.
Kingery. I wouldn't give him Kingery, but I'd give him Crawford.
It could be. Number 6 is the St. Louis Cardinals. That has shown up on the list. Paul DeJong is going to be coming back soon. I don't know. I don't know if the Cardinals are going to be motivated enough to make that move, but I could see it. The Los Angeles Dodgers come in at number 5, Bogman.
Yeah, I guess I'm not that surprised that they've, because it's been rumored that they've moved on. You know what I mean?
Don't want to give up the major league talent, but they're willing. Like, I think it was the Orioles were looking at guys like Gavin Lux and Dustin May, who are a couple prospects for them. And I'm not sure the Dodgers would have an issue with that necessarily, But I think the Orioles are looking for major league talent. And yeah, right. I don't think the Dodgers want to give up a Jock Peterson or something like that. So I think that's what's holding it up.
Yeah, yeah. I still think that they wind up getting it done somehow, just because I'm a masochist and I don't think the Diamondbacks are going to do it. So if they don't, it'll be the stupid Dodgers. But Diamondbacks made it happen with JD last year. So maybe I'm being too much of a, Debbie Downer here.
One of the most interesting ones that's popped up is you had mentioned earlier who he might potentially sign with, the New York Yankees. And the player that has been rumored is Justice Sheffield. And I've heard he was offered, then he wasn't offered. The Orioles want him. The Yankees don't want to move him. The Yankees have so much pitching in the
minor league
system. Isn't
it stupid that the Yankees wouldn't do that deal?
In a heartbeat.
So that can't be it, right?
I've watched Justice Sheffield in person. I remember during the Arizona Fall League, I was watching a game. He gave up one hit in five innings. Keith Law tweeted out after the game, "This is the best start I have ever seen from Justice Sheffield." He has really turned a corner over the last couple of years. He is a very good pitcher. The Yankees, if they gave up Gleyber Torres, or if the Cubs gave up Gleyber Torres, they know the value you have to give up in those type of trades.
Right.
You can give up Justice Sheffield to get Manny Machado if that puts you over, especially if that gets you on his team and all that much better to re-sign him. I think that would be ridiculous if they held it up. Just a couple more here. The Diamondbacks come in at number three. There's no potential players that have been thrown around because
I just don't understand how the Diamondbacks are three. Like, I hope this happens for the D-backs, but I mean, how are they three? It seems like they don't have that much.
Well, no, the Diamondbacks have assets. And they've always been hyper aggressive in taking on players like this. It's just, as it was reported, John Campadoro out here in Arizona had said that they have only exchanged players that the Diamondbacks are not going to trade. So it really hasn't gotten much further. The final two teams, the Brewers come in at number two. There have been names like Colin Burns and Orlando Arcia that have been put in there. But Bogman, number one is the Indians.
That makes no sense to me. Like, the Indians are definitely going to win their division. So
where is he going to play?
Yeah,
he doesn't want to play third. And Jose Ramirez is there.
Is Lindor going to move over to second? I mean, is that what's going to happen?
I mean,
I guess.
Here's an interesting thing to think, though. You would think a guy like Manny Machado, if he were to look and go and play for E5, Francisco Lindor, and Jose Ramirez, he would just want to be in that lineup. And he would be comfortable and okay with playing third base if he needed to. Because Ramirez could go to second base.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's that doesn't make a lot of sense for Cleveland. I guess if they're not giving up that much, but obviously you're going to have to give up a lot because that is what they've been holding out for. I mean, Cleveland is 7.5 games up on Minnesota. They're definitely making the playoffs. So it's not like Manny Machado puts them over. You know what I mean? Does he help? Obviously. Any team that Manny Machado goes to, he helps. But I think it makes sense for these teams that are in division races to be better than their opponents. You know, Arizona or L.A. makes a lot of sense. If Chicago, Milwaukee, and St. Louis are all in that race, I think that makes sense. Philly, Atlanta, Washington, all in that race, that makes sense. The Tri-Mar, they're not going up against anybody. They're 7.5 games up on Minnesota, and Minnesota is 6 games below 500. They're not making the playoffs.
I think the Indians have also, there's a lot of rumors around Adam Jones and the leadership that they really like. I think
that makes more sense.
I think the Indians turn their sights towards a guy like Adam Jones, and I think this is kind of that 5-horse race. To me, it's the Phillies, the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Diamondbacks, and the Brewers. And let's say a team like the Dodgers have already taken themselves out. I mean, then you got a 4-horse race and there's a bunch of really interesting players.
You know who has 13 more wins than the Baltimore Orioles?
Who?
The Miami Marlins.
Oh.
26-69 Baltimore, 39-57 Miami.
How do you do that? Well, I will tell you, have a great All-Star weekend. Enjoy the Futures game. And then in the week, enjoy the Home Run Derby. enjoy the All-Star game if that's up your bag.
So much fun.
And follow us on Twitter. Is it the Welsh Bogman Sports? You're going to get updates, maybe Periscopes, and a whole bunch more. We'll be back with you next week right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. For Bogman, I am the Welsh. Good night now, my friends.
Oh, yeah.